السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. We'll be continuing with the biography of سیدنا عثمان رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ. سیدنا عثمان رضی اللہ عنہ said that I have found the sweetness of عبادت in four things. The first is in performing the فرض acts of عبادات enjoined by اللہ تعالیٰ. Most important thing is the farais. The second is in avoiding the things that Allah Ta'ala has made haram. The third is Amar bil Ma'roof, seeking only the reward of Allah Ta'ala. See, when you make Amar bil Ma'roof, a person must not wait for results. You do it to earn the sawab from Allah Ta'ala. So a lot of times you'll make Amar bil Ma'roof, and if you're looking for results, then we'll be disheartened. Because most people won't listen, and then some people will even mock you, some people will make a fool of you, some people will want to argue with you. So if a person is doing it only for Allah Ta'ala, then he won't worry about all these things. But if you're doing it to see results, now we'll get upset. See his words, Sayyidina Uthman Rinnan, Amar bil Ma'roof, but only to seek reward from Allah Ta'ala. And the fourth is forbidding that which is evil. With what niyat? Fearing the wrath of Allah. Fearing the wrath of Allah Ta'ala. Whether people stop, they don't stop, that is left up to them. But we must make the nahi and the munkar, what is within our ability, we must do. Because if a person is living amongst a people, right, and these people are doing wrong, and we don't make nahi anil munkar, then we are complicit, you know, complicit in their guna. Jee. Sources tell us only a little about Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu's relationship with poetry and poets. When it came to poetry, what was his thing with poetry? Even though the duration of his khilafat was relatively long, Uthman radiallahu anhu's khilafat was long, over a decade, the little we know tells us that he adhered to the general guidelines of Islamic aqaid as laid down by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which were followed before him by Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu an and Amirul Mu'mineen Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu an. Undoubtedly, each of them had his own interests in literature. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu an was famous for his knowledge in lineages. He was a master of lineage. So when he used to go to talk to the tribes, new tribes, Quickly, he'll tell them who was their forefather, and they get so happy that this person knows our lineage. Now when he gives them da'wat, they listen to him. So his knowledge of lineage and his broad general knowledge, his good company and his recital of poetry. Umar radiallahu anhu, on the other hand, was famous for encouraging people to learn poetry. Right? No issue was referred to him but he could quote a pertinent line of poetry. And he himself too, he was a poet, Umar radiallahu anhu. Obviously we're talking about poetry that is within the parameters of the Shariat, right? We're not talking about poetry that's out of the parameters of the Shariat. As for Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu, it is not narrated that he had any deep interest in poetry or any strong relationship with poets. We know that the poets used to swarm around the doors of the rulers, hoping to earn their pleasure and gifts. See, poets, they always stay around the wealthy, or they'll make poetry in their praise, right? And in return, the wealthy people, what they know? They know how to throw money. People of ilm, they throw ilm, isn't it? Isn't Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mention both types of people? La hasada illa fitnatain. Rajulun atahu Allahu malan fahuwa yunfiquhu He is spending that wealth morning and night, this direction, that direction, that direction. And the other is a person Allah Ta'ala has given him ilm, isn't it? Gave him Quran Sharif, gave him ilm deen, and now he is imparting that ilm deen day and night. So the wealthy person, Allah has given him wealth, he will give his wealth. And the person of knowledge, he'll disperse knowledge, dispense knowledge. So the poets used to stay around the wealthy, because they know that now if you praise the wealthy, they'll give us some money, give us some gifts, right? But in the days of Uthman radiallahu anhu, we see that the poets left the major cities and they left Madina Munawara and they preferred to go back to the desert. The books of literature and history quote some of the verses that are attributed to Uthman radiallahu anhu, which he used to recite. There was some poetry, so he wasn't totally against poetry, but at the same time he didn't give it now such a high this thing that it encouraged now all the poets to come there and show off their skill, etc. So because Uthman radiallahu anhu, he didn't really pay too much attention to poetry, so poets were not really close to him. His murder, the shahadat of Uthman radiallahu anhu, by the people who carried that act out, this opened the door to the flourishing of the Abbasid poetry that would effectively become a form of media in the coming Islamic eras. When Uthman radiallahu anhu was made shaheed, many poets among the Sahaba radiallahu anhum wrote poetry, you know, lamenting the shahadat of Uthman radiallahu anhu. But this will come later on in the kitab. His main characteristics. Uthman radiallahu anhu is regarded as a born leader. It wasn't a skill that he had to go and acquire. Allah Ta'ala had blessed him with these qualities. The Shia, they spread this amongst the people that Uthman radiallahu anhu was a weak leader. You hear this, sometimes you hear it even from people who unwittingly say it, because they just read it in this book or that book. Lot of Shia propaganda has found its way into our kitabs too. Like how in this zamana you get so many so-called scholars and people that are promoting wrong things, but they find their way onto the members of our masajid. Their kitabs sometimes are found on the shelves of our masajid. So these things, they have a way of sneaking in, you know. Because people have an agenda, so then they propagate and they see how to promote their agenda, their wrong agenda. So the Shia, they always try, they paint this picture to say that, no, you see, all the problems happen because Uthman radiallahu anhu, he was a weak leader. So Umar Naun, he had iron fist, that's why nobody could take a chance in his time and all that. This is incorrect. Uthman radiallahu anhu, he was a remarkable leader. I mean, you can't remain a khalif for so long. So long you remain the khalif. The naval, army and everything came about in his zamana. So in describing his character, we will mention some points in brief and discuss others in detail. So the first thing we discuss is his knowledge and his teaching skills. So Uthman radiallahu anhu is regarded as one of the senior ulama among the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum with regards to the Quran Sharif, means tafsir of the Quran Sharif, and also the Sunnah, the Ahadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We will discuss his efforts in the field of fiqh, right? Then also with regards to business, because he was a business person. So the laws of business, everything, he was very clued up. And then also with regards to jihad. Uthman radiallahu anhu was eager to follow the guidance of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and Umar radiallahu anhu. In anything that he did, he checked. What did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do? How did Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu do it? How did Umar radiallahu anhu do it? And that would be the path that he would follow. It was narrated from Urwa bin Zubair that Ubaidullah bin Adi bin Khayyar told him that Miswar bin Makhrama and Abdurrahman bin Aswad of the Yaghus said to him, "What kept you from speaking to your mamu, your mamaji, your maternal uncle, the Amir al-Mu'mineen, Uthman radiallahu an, about Walid bin Uqba, when the people were talking a great deal about what he did?" So Ubaidullah said, "I intercepted the Khalif, Uthman radiallahu an, when he went out to read his salah. And I said to him that, look, I want to give you some nasiyah, to give you some advice." So Uthman radiallahu an said to him that, look, I seek refuge in Allah Ta'ala from you. So I went away. Then when he finished salah, I sat with Miswar and Ibn Abd Yahuth, and I told them what I had said to the Khalif and what he said to me. So they said, look, you have done what you have, you did your duty. You tried to caution him, you did your duty. Whilst I was sitting with them, the messenger of Uthman radiallahu an came to me. Uthman radiallahu an, in other words, sent somebody to him. And he said to me, Allah is testing you. Allah is testing you. I went to Uthman radiallahu an, and he said to me, what is the advice that you wanted to tell me before namaz? So I recited the Shahada. Then I said to him, Allah, may he be glorified and exalted, sent Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the truth and revealed the Quran Sharif to Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You were one of those who responded to Allah Ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you saw His guidance. The people are talking too much about Walid. So you have to carry out punishment on him. You have to carry out the had on him. He said to me, O my nephew, did you meet Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? I said, no. I'm not a Sahabi, I didn't mean. But the knowledge and the certain, you know, the iman and yaqeen that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam promoted, that has reached me. That reached me. He then recited the Shahada. And he said, Allah Ta'ala sent Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the truth. And I was one of those who responded. In other words, I was there firsthand. I was one of those who responded to Allah Ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I believe in that with which He sent Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I made hijrat twice. And I became the son-in-law of Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam twice. I took bay'at to Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And by Allah, I was never disobedient or insincere to him until he passed away. I lived a life loyal to Allah Ta'ala and Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Sayyiduna Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was appointed as his khalif. And we took bay'at to him. And by Allah, I was never disobedient or insincere to him until he passed away. Then Umar radiallahu anhu was appointed as his successor. And by Allah, I was never disobedient or insincere towards him until he passed away. So I saw all these eras. The 23 years of Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life, the 2.5 years of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Nanu's life as a khalif, the 10 years of Umar radiallahu anhu's life as Khalif. So I'm not in this thing from yesterday. Now Allah Ta'ala has appointed me as his successor. So should I not have authority over you as they had over me? In other words, whenever they passed the ruling, we obeyed. So now, when I'm passing a ruling, shouldn't you all also obey? Why are you all talking? You must listen. Sami'na wa ata'na. Finish. So I said, yes. He said, so what is this talk that I'm hearing about among you? Why are you all discussing wali then? I made a ruling. Finish. You must be obedient to it and listen. As for what you say about Walid, we will investigate it inshallah, and we will do what is right. He gave Walid 40 lashes, and he instructed Sayyidina Ali radiallahu an to lash him. So Ali radiallahu an had lashed Walid. Uthman radiallahu an stayed close to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and benefited from his ilm and his guidance, which made him one of the senior scholars amongst the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. He was able to show his people the right way and lead them properly, teaching them their duties and giving them his advice and opinions, which were based on his ilm and also his tajruba, his experiences. Right? He had a wealth of experience. So that they could advance in the fields of da'wah, in the fields of leadership, ta'aleem, jihad, and most importantly, preparing to meet Allah Ta'ala. Sometime in our khidmat of deen, whether we studying deen, whether we teaching deen, whether we going in jamaat, whether we in the khanka, wherever, we get so focused on the work that we're doing that we forget our destination. Why am I doing all this work? Where am I going? So one is all the things came to dawah, leadership, education, jihad, everything. But most importantly, we prepared them to meet Allah Ta'ala. You have to meet your Allah. Some of Uthman radhiyallahu anhu's exhortations were included in the khutbah he gave when he was appointed as Khalif, in which he said, after praising Allah Ta'ala and sending durood and salam upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are in a temporary realm which you will soon leave. First advice, you are in a temporary world which you are going to soon leave. But you have some of your life left. So hasten before death comes to do the best you can. For death may come to you at any time, morning or evening. This world is very deceiving. This world is very deceiving. Let not this present life deceive you. And let not the chief deceiver, meaning shaitan, deceive you about Allah Ta'ala. Learn from those who have passed away. Then strive hard. Don't be heedless. Don't go into ghaflat. Where are those who lived in this world before us? They're not here. How many came? All went. All had to pass away. Those who tilled the soil and populated the land and enjoyed life for a long time, did they not depart? In other words, did the time not come that they depart? All had to depart. Even if a person lived 100 years, 150 years, if somebody is blessed with 200 years also, but in the end you'd have to depart. So do what is good in this world. Carry out nek amal. Do good things. That's the only thing that's going to be our treasure in the akhirat. Everything else is going to stay in the dunya. Uthman radiallahu anhu narrated a hadith from Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from which the ummah benefited. Different hadith. For example, The hadith of khayrukum man ta'allama al-Qur'an wa 'allamah. This is a hadith of Sayyidina Uthman radiyallahu anhu. He narrated this hadith from Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Abdul Rahman taught Quran Sharif during the Khilafat of Uthman radiyallahu anhu until the time of Hajjaj bin Yusuf. He said, this hadith Sharif is what made me sit down and teach Quran Sharif. This hadith that khayrukum man ta'allama al-Qur'an wa 'allama. One ustad in the madrasa, in our madrasa. So I gave him an option, right? Told him, you want to continue in the Hifz class or would you like to go and teach Kitab? He'll come out of the Hifz class and go teach Kitab. So he said to me, isn't the best thing is to teach Quran? I'd rather be teaching Quran wholly. Isn't Maulana Magda Sahib did the same thing? He told me, see, Maulana Magda did the same thing. He just remained teaching Quran Sharif. So I just want to remain teaching Quran. It was khayrukum man ta'allama al-Quran wa 'allama. Lot of times this is a weakness amongst us. The person is teaching Bukhari Sharif, you know, teaching Bukhari, you know. And he's teaching Bukhari Sharif, you know. They'll talk about the person teaching Bukhari Sharif for the last 20 years and all that, right? The Hibs will start. No, in the Hibs class. He's in the Hibs class. Like as if to say, that teaching of the Quran, where can Bukhari Sharif compare with that? خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمَ. But if a person is told to teach Quran, now if he's like, reading Quran now. If you go to the Darul Uloom and they tell you now, alright, just teach the first years, the surahs. Now you feel, me, you know, my istidad, they're telling me to teach that. Hey, give me Hidayah or Shkat Sharif at least. I mean, at least Bukhari also, at least they should give me Hidayah or Shkat Sharif or something. Now they're telling me to teach Quran. Quran is the greatest. Quran is the greatest. خير من استقبل ان اتانا بالتوفيق سبحان الله وبحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد ان لا اله الا انت نستغفرك ونتوب اليك والسلام عليكم ورحمه الله وبركاته.